It's time for Type 40, that Doctor Who podcast from the Fandom Podcast Network. On this show, we take an in-depth and closer look at this beloved television series, the spin-offs, the merchandise, even the fandom itself. Doctor Who's gone from homegrown family favourite to international entertainment legend, shaping the landscape of science fiction and fantasy along the way. Now come and step into this TARDIS and share our journey together here on Type 40. All aboard the Type 40, once again with me, Dan Hadley, your designated driver, Birmingham's king of the geeks, though at heart a humble, lifelong Doctor Who fan, perhaps just like you, but you know, maybe not, maybe you're newer to the whole Whoniverse, and that's also okay. There's no gatekeeping going on here, only conversation, trivia, fun, games, as we're opening the TARDIS toy box for a twist on our old favourite. It's that rummage through the memories of a fellow Doctor Who devotee, blowing away the dust and playing with some favourite toys and maybe this time going, "Ooh, I had one of those," over and over again. So let's see now with my guest this time, a Doctor Who collector extraordinaire. He goes by the name of Ian O'Time Lord. Ian, welcome to the show.
Hello, Dan.
Yes, you are. You're going to the name Ian O'Time Lord, but your real name's Ian O'Brien, isn't it? And you've been in the fandom for a very long time. I'm sure you won't mind me saying that.
Original, you might say.
With that, with all these years in the fandom, obviously, just like the rest of us, you've amassed a bit of a collection. We're going to get into talking about all of that. But just to give people an idea of the sort of scale of why I've asked you in particular, you're one of the select souls, those few who have held a Doctor Who-related Guinness World Record, aren't you?
Yes, I've held it twice.
What's the exact title of the record?
Largest collection in the world of Doctor Who memorabilia, 2013 and 2015.
Fairly recent then.
Yeah, I can't remember the numbers without looking at the certificates.
And you've been collecting a very long time, haven't you?
Since I was knee-high. I mean, I've been in Doctor Who longer than I thought because I came across a greetings card I once did something for my parent. Yeah. I was about five and I've got, what have I done? On the Daleks.
This is the thing. I mean, you can trace it back, can't you? If the average Doctor Who fan, I think they can sort of chart their life with memories like that and items like that. Stuff that they've bought, stuff that they've made, stuff that they've clipped out of a newspaper or whatever, all counts. It forms our own timelines. We had timelines before Facebook, didn't we? I don't know how you feel about your collection. We're going to find out today. A lot of the things that I've got, they wouldn't be worth anything to a single other living soul. But to me, they're practically priceless. Like Rosie here, she's my very favourite Dalek. She's Type 40's official Dalek, a nice big cuddly red one, and she's quite reasonably well-tempered for a Dalek. If you were to put a valuation on her, if somebody stole her, how much do you think it would cost me to have to replace Rosie there?
For you personally, you couldn't replace her. If it was just another item, you could replace her easily.
It wouldn't have the same bond, would it, Rosie?
No.
Definitely not. I'm going to keep her under lock and key because she is officially designated Dalek priceless. We've barely broken the blister pack on Ian's lifelong passion for Doctor Who. We're going to be here for a little while. So I've nipped back in time, Ian, for some collectible goodies for you to nibble on whilst we chat. Mm-hmm. So see what you fancy out of this little lot. In the Type 40 freezer at the moment, we've got some Doctor Who Walls Sky Ray lollipops from 1966. So you could have one of those, or there's a Souchard TARDIS Easter egg here with the fifth Doctor in a very unfortunate picture on the front. We'll have to put that up on Instagram later on. Or there's the time-honoured jelly babies. Which of those three do you fancy?
I think I'd go for the lolly.
The lolly. There you go. Well, it's a reasonably hot evening, isn't it? And yeah, the good thing about these, it's a time-sensitive freezer. So it's extra cold. It'll last that little bit longer. TARDIS and Time Lord technology there. And whilst you get it stuck into that, just don't let it dribble all over the floor. I'm going to take a moment to run through our essential fixed points we must remind our companions out there of as part of the Fandom Podcast Network. Each and every edition of this show, past, present and future, is up on the Fandom Podcast Network's master feed at fpnet.podbean.com and fpnet on the Podbean app itself. Or you can search the Fandom Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher and Google Play. Even stream us over on iHeartRadio. Then, of course, whichever of those you've listened to us on, you can let us know what you think through our social media presence, Instagram and Twitter, type 40 Doctor Who. Or you could even go large with our wonderful companions in Type 40's lively Facebook group. It's constantly growing, just like the mould on that Easter egg, come to think of it, from 1982. We're so grateful for all the support that we get right across social media. Truly we are. And there's links to all of that in the show notes, as always. Ian, you're across social media, aren't you? But just for the benefit of the listener, which do you do? Do you Snap? Do you Gram? Do you Tweet?
Twitter is the one I use most. I'm also on Facebook. Facebook, I run two groups. The Amazing World of Doctor Who. I can't remember how long it's been going now. Other one is something for everybody. Doctor Who action figure scenes. You know, I often love taking photos of the figures in real scenes, you know, out in the garden or somewhere else. And I thought, what a good idea to set up a group and let people do the same.
So people are staging their action figures and toys. They're sort of creating dioramas either within their own home or outside in the garden or whatever else to sort of set a bit of a scene and bring it all to life a little.
Yeah, they can recreate scenes. Some go to printing backdrops off, recreating episodes and that. One of my favourite shots I did recently was the fourth Doctor in his burgundy outfit with K9 in the tall grass. Because it's often a picture you see, I think on that annual at the time and other publicity shots of the Doctor and K9 in the sort of tall grass.
I remember, yeah. It's one of my favourite scenes, that is.
It came out really well.
I think it's unfair of us to talk about this stuff and not show anybody. So if you can let me have some of these pictures, we can put them on the Instagram feed so some of the listeners can see what all this exactly is. Because I've seen some of them before and some of the members of your group, I mean, they are very gifted at photography and at customising figures even. It really is something. Occasionally when I'm scrolling through social media, I have to give them a second glance because I think they're a shot from the show. I can be found scattered across all of space and time, but mostly on Instagram and Twitter as The Space Book, where I talk about all things geeky inside and outside of the TARDIS in movies, TV, comics and whatever else catches my eye, imagination, or both in popular culture. Or you can board the Spacebook's own Facebook group, which is full of other geeks, viewers, listeners, readers, and collectors. Funnily enough, they're talking about the same from all over the world. Come and find us and come and have a chat. Ian, I'm going to start at the beginning. I'm not going to do a Moffat on you. We're not going to chop this up too much because Doctor Who, never mind the TV show, but as a brand, has been around for a hell of a long time, hasn't it? For almost as long as the show. They couldn't get those Dalek toys, for example, manufactured fast enough, could they, back in the mid-60s? But it's fair to say, though, that is before your time, isn't it? You're nowhere near that that venerable.
But, they always said if I had a time machine, I'd go back and buy the lot and bring them down.
You'd go and pick up all that Dalek Mania stuff, would you?
Yeah.
You were probably in primary school watching the TV on a Saturday night when this all sort of took hold of you. But what I'm interested in is what came first for you. Was it a love of Doctor Who or was it the collector's mindset? Did one spike the other? Were you always a collector before Doctor Who?
Watched it as a family. My mum was into it anyway. She watched it from the start, my dad and my brother. And the collector stuff started with the usual sort of Christmas and birthday presents.
Two or three times a year, you'd get like a few items and gradually you'd grow a collection.
Dennis Fisher at birthdays or Christmas, Daleks, right, the Bump and Go Daleks from Louis Marks at Christmas. But I have a 60s Dalek here, appropriate name though, a nursery Dalek.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was the name on the box.
Yeah, and I love that one. It's one of my earliest. My mum and dad got me that one.
That's sort of where it's all started. And do you remember what years you had particular things even now?
My memory of Doctor Who, my earliest memory is Planet of the Daleks.
Of the TV show, yeah.
Earliest so memories. I remember I loved Daleks. After that, I had Green Death. After that, of course, Sarah coming in. Then I think I remember bits of Monster of Burden. I don't know what happened between. And of course, I do remember Planet of the Spiders. No, it was my brother always used to get the annuals to start with. Then he passed them on to me.
They'd always published those pretty much from the beginning, hadn't they? They barely missed a year, in fact, by that point.
I got into Doctor Who, and I was a bit obsessive to figures and that, which there wasn't many around. There was only like the 8-inch Dennis Fisher ones. I got a TARDIS and Tom Baker figure at the time.
There was a bit of a lull in Doctor Who merchandise, wasn't there? It pretty much settled on the annuals and the odd set of jigsaws until around 73, 74, when the Target book line started. And then with Tom Baker, things started to come to life again, didn't they?
Yeah, again, the same sort of stuff. I mean, there wasn't much. I mean, there was a unique item towards 79, 80. Another of my favourites. It's called TARDIS Tuner.
That was a nice sort of radio, wasn't it?
I don't know who made it, actually. I've never made it. Weird sounds on it as well. Well, I've much become more aware of the show when Tom Baker was coming to an end.
What do you think it was about that time? What do you think it was, the fact that your age reaching teenage, or was it the fact that John Nathan Turner, Ian Levine and Christopher H. Bidmead were working that bit harder?
One of my favourite seasons is season 18, Tom Baker's last one. And I've always dreamed that Character Options 1 would release a season 18.
But who is your Doctor? And who would you think is the best Doctor? Are they the same? Have you got two different answers for that?
Tom's the best and my favourite.
There you go. Do you think has that always been the case? Has anybody ever come close to... Nobody's ever come close to knocking him off for you?
Tom is the best. Just because I think there's no difference between him and the Doctor, really. Yeah. It's one of the same.
It's a glove fit or a scarf fit, isn't it?
He's exactly the same. In an interview, I just roar with laughter. I love the man. I've never met him, unfortunately, but he just makes me laugh, and I just love his Doctor.
If you had to pick a runner-up for Best Doctor, who would you go for?
I think I'd go for Pertwee.
Have you ever met any of the Doctors?
Pertwee, Davison, Baker, McCoy. And that's the only ones I've met.
A good chunk.
I've always wanted to meet Tom. I've got his autograph on the wall there. I've got a few times his autograph signed.
So that's the Time Lords themselves talked about. Do you have any favourite companions or sets of companions?
Well, companions is Sarah, my favourite, and Joe. But then I do like Tegan. Like the next three will be Tegan, Nissa and Adric. I know a lot of people didn't like Adric, but I have no problems with him and I still don't. Of course, K-9, New Who, Donna and Bill.
Oh, Bill as well. Yeah, a lot of people say Donna, but not many people have said Bill. So what is it about Bill?
Bill is, because Bill was kind of like, very down to earth, sort of like, he'd ask the questions that you or I might ask. Where's the toilet? Where's the kitchen sort of thing? No one's ever asked that before.
I agree. I've always said that everybody knows a girl like Bill.
I just thought, it was perfect for Capaldi.
Usually at this point, I go into asking a question about monsters, about Doctor Who monsters. As a collector, you might feel slightly differently about this as regards their sort of playability and collectability. So have you got a favourite Doctor Who monster from classic or new?
Easy. Daleks.
You said that without flinching for a moment, right to the Daleks. And is that on screen as well?
Yes, on screen as well. Except I can't be watching their next appearance. The New Who at the moment, I'm taking a break because for my sanity.
So you're not so hot on the new design?
Pinking well awful. I just thought it looked pinking well awful.
So what is the pinnacle of Dalek design for you on screen?
All of them. I like them all.
So those are the ones that you don't like those, but all the rest you could quite happily watch and have collected.
I don't mind them all. I do have the paradigm in both sets of releases. People don't understand the term collector. It's to do with collecting. From the start, you know, even though I didn't like her, I watched the first series 11, but I got her action figure because it's part of the collection, same as I bought the 10-inch.
What you're saying is you are a completist. If you can be, once you commit to buying a certain line of products, you want them in sequence and every item from that range.
Some people can hear this, but above my head, I have a TARDIS for every Doctor.
Yeah, I should explain that at the moment, as I'm speaking to Ian, we can see one another on camera, and just behind him, he's got a shelf up high with a grand procession of pretty much, that must be every TARDIS that's ever been on the TV show, stretching out on a shelf above his head with, I think you've got the corresponding doctors right next to them. It's like a hall of fame.
13. Even hardly can't see, but I have...
Are they all part of the same line as well? Are they all from a specific toy line?
Yeah, character options. I mean, some of them are doubled up because they haven't done it. So second Doctor's TARDIS that I've used is the fourth Doctor's electronic one, which was released in the TV series. It was practically the same. I used that one because I bought two of them at the time. For Pertwee, I use one for Pertwee. And then they've released two different Pertwee TARDISes. And then they've released three Tom Baker TARDISes, a Peter Davison one, not one for Colin Baker. So at the time I bought Sylvester McCoy's one, two of them, because it's basically the same.
Yes.
And then the movie one was just, again, the Seventh Doctor's one I repainted from Big Finish Sets last year with the release of Dark Eyes 8. So I've given him a 10th Doctor's TARDIS, so I've got the War 9 and 10 are all the same.
Yeah.
And for Matt, we have what the first release was more like the Dark Window panels on the door.
Those tiny differences.
And then for Peter, or two of them, one also for Matt, and of course, right up to Jodie Whittaker.
You commit to this line. This is the character options line, isn't it? That first started putting out Doctor Who figures in 2006. And over time, that line has sort of put out all of these TARDISes in one shape or form, hasn't it? But in the odd instance where they haven't put out one that's matched a particular Doctor, you yourself have doubled up and customised by hand painting certain items to match the colour and things like that.
Yeah. All the TARDIS I have are based on their particular one they used for that era. Probably will do more because in the last few years they've been great. I mean, I never thought they would ever release any more. I mean, last year we had two new TARDISes. We had one based on Sharda.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Which is brilliant. And one based on the Caves of Androzani, a muddied, weathered-looking Fifth Doctor TARDIS. An individual figure is about £13, £12.99 for one figure. You're getting like me, you could split it down to £10.99 for the TARDIS, £9.99 for the figure.
I think it's fair to say that the character line, it was kind of mismanaged, wasn't it? But...
Well, it was Toys R Us that used to have an awful lot, but they've gone. I won't blame character. I think it's just because Smith left. Capaldi era wasn't that popular, not as bad as some people make out when comparing the season.
Well, they reduced the size of the figures for a time, didn't they? During the Matt Smith era, they reduced them.
Yeah, because if anyone wants to go onto my YouTube channel, I recently did a video on them.
Because they wanted to bring them into line with Star Wars figures, didn't they?
Yeah, didn't work because the quality, I just found, it wasn't very good, and the likenesses were, I thought, pretty poor.
They really suffered in making them much
more. The Daleks, though, the 3.75 Daleks were wonderful. They were really good because they did a rusty Dalek from Into the Dalek, and they did a quite good job on that. Mm-hmm. Fans just turned off, and they really wanted the 5-inch. They said they were going to run alongside each other. I think they realised that the 5-inch range was one that people wanted. I also think it's partly the BBC because they don't promote it enough. I mean, there's such a gap between theories. I mean, this one just ended, and we're not going to get another one till next year some point.
They can always rely on the collectors, though, can't they? People such
as it's
such
a decline in the show, but also what happened is Underground Toys were bought out, I think, by Funko Pop. The reason for the decline, I have to say, B&M deserve all the praise you can keep on them because they're the ones who are carrying on investing in the classic range because... If it wasn't for B&M, I think we'd see the classic figures at all now. Maybe an odd one in a box now and again, but...
There's a genuine excitement around that brand, isn't there? And B&M themselves, B&M are a big retailer in the UK. They get right behind it. They really promote it. They know that there's an appetite for this product out there. So they communicate with the punters, with the people who want to buy it.
What happens is, so character options will have done a video showing them off what's coming. Hmm. And that gets people wrapped, and then they'll be in stores in maybe 3-4 weeks after that, or 2 weeks, whenever. A&M don't do much publicising. I mean, the only trouble...
Oh, that's character themselves rather than B&M.
Yeah. The only trouble with that is B&M is don't do mail order. They are UK exclusive only. You have to go into the stores, and it usually takes a bit of time for the stock to get into all stores, so you're often going back and forth. You've still got the old age problem of people, the scalpers, buying loads of them.
That's an increasingly big problem, isn't it? The more that something becomes sought after, we're seeing this with the Blu-ray range right at the moment, and the more things become sought after and harder to sort of get your orders fulfilled on, they start buying it direct from source, which means that people, genuine collectors, or people who just want to enjoy the stuff, to play with the toys or to just watch the DVDs or Blu-rays, you know, they're often left staring at an email saying that whichever retailer hasn't been able to get stock. It's a sad situation.
I mean, it's always been. I mean, there was somebody that bought a load of, I think, TARDISes last year, and I thought, people thought, well, I hope you get stuck with them, because B&M learnt their lesson from the year before when they did a puppy test, because quickly to a rundown, they were just releasing, you know, most of it was just re-releasing figures that had come out before, which they still do to some extent. And they decided characters thought, well, let's see what we could do with the range. So they then started with, when they released in, I forget what year was it, 2018, Pertwee in M. TARDIS couldn't get them. Yeah. I was lucky because a friend managed to pick me one up, actually, because I don't think they thought it wouldn't sell that much, but it sold out. Now they do produce a lot more now. You know, some people are kind enough to, you know, track them down for you.
I've noticed that in the community, there are Doctor Who fans who will do their best.
Charge you postage when it costs them. It's just great that B&M do these customers. I mean, like I said, in the past few years, I mean, this year, we got another classic personal retailer spends based on Monster Peladon, complete with him in that outfit he wore, that sort of very dark green velvety sort of outfit.
These are toys that you never thought that you'd probably ever get to see. And things in some cases, I think, that I certainly feel this, they're stuff that I didn't know that I wanted. And you find yourself thinking, oh, I should treat myself to this. Or if you're somebody like me, you know, I thought I was a collector until I started talking to you and saw what you do.
I saw after things, like there's another company that did it in the 90s called Product Enterprise. They did a range of 12-inch Daleks. They did a range of...
They did a Cyberman as well, didn't they?
A Cyberman based on Silver Nemesis and the Stealth Cyberman based on Attack of the Cybermen. They also did some movie Daleks.
I saw those. They were beautiful. Really bright, weren't they? Really bright coloured.
I did get, not so long ago on eBay, a couple of years ago, one of the 8-inch talking movie Daleks, and it's a lovely piece to have. Full working order and everything, and it's great because it's got dialogue from the film.
Well, except with the proper authentic voices too.
Yeah, proper. Actually, you know, it's the actual Dalek's voice. They also did a Davros, which I never had, but I sought for years and I got that at one point. And that is the Michael Wisher Davros, and again, that has the actual dialogue from Genesis of the Daleks.
I remember when that range came out, and the Dalek in particular, people talked about it with great respect, with reverence, because up to that point, you know, we'd had the Daypol Daleks, which, you know, I've got a soft spot for all those, but virtually every Dalek we'd had up to that point hadn't been accurate to the exact dimensions as it had it. I think the product was the first range to make sure that it was the exact measurements. No? He's shaking his head at me. I've got that wrong. Go on, no, correct me. Who was the first?
I have another friend who is obsessed with Daleks. And so when I met him...
Products used to claim that, I'm sure, but if they were wrong, they were wrong.
You know, told me a lot about Daleks because he said they argued with him because they did basically what character done, the same Dalek in just different colours, the same mould, re-released. So not very accurate. At least you could say based on... So for example, I'll throw one at you. The Planet of the Dalek Supreme, now, for fans that don't know, that was like a movie type Dalek. It was actually Monetary Nation's own that BBC borrowed. And for some reason, but it had a torch for an eye. So when it spoke, and big lights are made out of jam jars, purple jam jars. When Product Enterprise produced it, they just gave it two little small lights and a normal eye stalk with red at the end.
So they didn't go quite the whole hog for you.
No. Whereas character, I mean, they're nice to have. Whereas character on the Daleks, quick history, when they started producing the new series Daleks, the bronze ones, they didn't get them right. So Russell T. Davis had a word with them. So they went and did them again. Started producing them much more accurately. The 12-inch ones, they are not accurate. There is one that is accurate, which is, it's a lovely one. It's the Stolen Earth. You remember that one?
Yeah.
Supreme. Now, they did two versions of that. They did a 12-inch and an 18-inch. The 12-inch is
that's
great.
That's the one with the gold, with the sort of golden struts that goes from the dome to the midsection, isn't
it? It's great because it's the dialogue from the episode and it lights up and it talks. It's a great one. But that's fairly accurate, but the rest are sort of not so accurate. But they also did, I've got one of them, an 18-inch dial. They did actually a bronze one and a black one. I've only got the one bronze one. Hyper rare now, but they are lovely because they have certain commands they obey.
So you could talk to them and they will respond.
Yeah. You say, Dalek, what is the Emperor? And it'll start shaking, getting excited, saying, the God of all Daleks, something like that.
Conversations with your collection.
Day of the Doctor, and I think it was Day of the Doctor, and also Time of the Doctor's Matt's last one, isn't it? Use the actual toys, the 18-inch Daleks.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah. And then if you look at the scene where into the Dalek...
That by that point there was a lot more physical model work. They'd gone back to that a little, hadn't they, in Series 7, yes, with episodes like Cold War and...
Oh, yes. Submarine. But if you also look at Into the Dalek, when the Daleks sort of board where Rusty's being captured on that ship, they are the 12-inch Daleks they've used. I didn't notice at first, but yeah, 12-inch Dalek.
I'm just shaking my head. I think, how on earth has he noticed all this? But then again,
I've read about it, but as for the details with the Product Enterprise, it was my friend told me because he, of course, bought them at the time, and he said he argued with Product Enterprise about that. The not so accurate ones. Characters, classic ones, they're the only company, excuse me, to produce a toy of the very first Dalek. Is it nicknamed more to the City Daleks or the Dead Planet Daleks? Because no one had ever done that before. And then, of course, they produced a wide range of that ones, even based on the Dalek invasion of Earth. But they did reissue the Daleks over and over, character did, like Product Enterprise, but nothing different than the TV series did. And then they changed, they say, the guns, the arms, the eyes, smack, whatever it looked like. Know what's to go where.
I think we've established that you know your Daleks. But when in assembling this collection and talking to some of your collection, what have the other people in your life over the decades, what have they made about it? What did your parents think when you were a young boy, sort of, and this obsession was taking hold, your friends or other family members? You know, what do they make of it all? Do they see
parents? Didn't say much.
You said your mum was a fan of the show. She used to watch it.
I was a bit obsessed about it. I remember getting really upset when they cancelled the show in 85 or tried to.
Didn't we all?
Very upset then. No, because they would buy me stuff and that with Doctor Who and that. One of the last presents my dad bought me in 2012 was the Product Enterprise 12-inch Supreme Dalek from Based on Remembrance. No one's really said anything. I'm amazed the amount of stuff I got. We said too much stuff, which I would agree on.
How many items do you estimate are in your collection presently?
I've lost count now since the record. What I did is I had to sort some stuff out.
Do you think you've got more or have you got less? Because you have thinned out your collection, haven't you?
I did. Maybe balance it out because I had to get rid of some stuff because I was buying. If I seen any book in the shelf shop, I would buy it, no matter what story. But then it got to the point where I knew I had got far too much and I'm never going to read his book.
You're not such a big reader, are you?
No. So I thought I'd never get round to them. I mean, I've read some of them. I tend to buy the books if they've got Alex or Sidemen in. or a classic monster I like. I knew how to get rid of them. I got rid of some other stuff, you know, because they brought out so much stuff when Tennant was the Doctor. There was a lot of stuff. I thought, no, I don't want that anymore. Not that I didn't like it, but it was just no use. It was just too much. Thinned it out a bit.
And I think the Tennant era did break a lot of completists where you had to sort of admit defeat and that you either couldn't afford or you just didn't want some of the stuff, because it really was. It was an explosion of merchandise and collectibles and just tie-in products.
And the Doctor Who magazine had to stop buying because it ran out of room.
So do you count toys, magazines and books and physical media, do you count that as part of your collection? Because, you know, it's not just toys.
Everything from a cardboard Dalek standee from the 70s to everything from an egg cup.
What's the oldest piece in your collection, Ian? Not necessarily the first one.
Cell cold nursery Dalek.
Oh, it is that nursery Dalek.
Well, no, I got that. Well, that was given for me in the 70s, but it came out in the 60s. There was never another one of it.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And I've got, they're not in good shape, but I'm very fond of them. Louis Mark Dalek, including one from the 60s, a black one, which was my brother's one. Always been obsessed since even the early comics. Supreme Dalek, like the Black Dalek. Been mad about that one. What comments? I mean, some have come round here, say, like, builders thing to do work, and some have asked to take photos, show their kids and that. And I say, yeah, go ahead.
Where do you stand with toys on opening them to play with them? You know, do you keep your things sealed or something sealed, or do you believe in getting things out and, as you say, customizing them, setting them in scenes in the garden? I mean, where do you sit with all this? Because some, they never open a single thing, do they?
Yeah, well, that's their opinion. Open them. I can't stand them being sealed. I mean, I just thought, imagine having a box set of Dalek set and not being able to touch them. I'd go insane. Not to go, but I'd like to put them on the shelf, because I've got a shelf there. And just two rows per shelf of Dalek. I like them because you can move them around, you can change them around, you can do what you like with them. Again, if you want to take photographs of them. So I've got a few, got in packages, I kept them, only a few, but open them up. Always believe that. I mean, take last year, I went on holiday to North Wales, to Holyhead, and I brought a few of the figures with me.
Oh, you took some with you?
Trying to create the scene, you know, the scene from the Car of a Time of Mind Warp where he lands and the TARDIS is in the sea?
On the beach, yeah.
Yeah. So I was trying to create that one. I got some nice shots.
Yeah, I mean, talking about taking your toys on holiday there to set scenes and things like that, you know, when I was a kid, I used to go, when I was a teenager, I used to go everywhere with a long list in my pocket of the entire Target range, the Target book range, and I would tick them off one by one, as I found them. I used to scour the second-hand bookshops and the charity shops for them. I think I'd pick them up for 25, 30p and all that sort of thing. Yeah. You could do that back then with no postage and packing. It's the days before eBay. People would love it now. But in your opinion, when was the golden age of classic Doctor Who collecting?
Well, the nice time to get them, of course, if you were a kid, were like the 70s. Or then the early 80s for then starting to catch up on items you might have not got, like the Dennis Fisher range. They produced, the only company that did, then the inch figures of the Dr. Leela, a small canine, giant robot, red top Dalek, which no other company has produced.
Because it was before prices started to really, really creep up, wasn't it, then? Yeah.
They came out in the 70s, so you could still pick them up in the 80s. But then, I suppose, in the 90s, during after the show was cancelled, you probably could have still picked them up because not a lot of people was madly interested in Doctor Who.
Yeah, I filled a few gaps in my collection during the 90s, inherited certain things, absolutely. Yeah. So how do you keep track of your collection? Have you got a list or even a spreadsheet?
I used to, for the record, but I've not touched it in years. No, I just know in my mind, it's weird, I know what I have in my mind. And a lot of everything, most of the stuff is in the front room. There is some stuff in the bedroom, and then some stuff in a cupboard that needs sorting out, but in storage boxes, excess David Tennant figures.
Just stuff that you know you've got, but you don't have it out at the moment, but you just know it's there.
The 3.75 figures, because I don't have the space. I don't have the space to put all the 10th Doctor variants out. Nothing wrong with them, but two shelves packed with new Who figures from 10th and 11th Doctor era. Nothing really. They didn't do much for Capaldi, apart from a few figures of him, Missy, and Oswin and Clara. But just don't have the space. And so it's like prioritising what I want out.
I'm picking up, Ian, that figures form the bulk of your collection.
Oh, yes. It,
figures and toys. But of other items, what rare items that aren't figures are you particularly proud of from back in the past?
I have, well, from the 70s, I have a couple of things. So we start with what I mentioned that was named after my Facebook group, The Amazing World of Doctor Who, that was 1976. There's a nine-year-old, and which you got by buying Thai food tea boxes, well, your parents did. And in that,
you'd clip the tickets, the coupons off the back of the Thai food tea to send off for it.
And sent off, and you got the book, and you got a wall poster, and you had these kind of best way to describe them as like trading cards, but they weren't. They were just collector cards with names of the characters on the back, and so there was about 12, and you stuck them to the poster. And I still have the poster, but it's a bit fragile now. But I do have a set of complete cards as well, separately.
Yeah, have you got one of the Thai food tea boxes? Have you got one of the boxes
completely? No, I don't have the boxes, actually. But we even had any action figures. We used to have these. And these were card figures.
I remember those.
And they were all drawn. So we had all sorts of Daleks. We had Ace Warrior Leader. I'm not saying his name, but I'm not. Slar, I think it was. Depends which one, because, of course, there was a couple of them from Seed to Death to Monster of Peldon.
You used to have to stand them up on little flaps, didn't you? And you'd be able to sort of perforate the card a little, and they would stand up, and you could set the scene.
There was Sarah Jane, the giant robot, the Wirren. They are lovely, and I still have them all. You also, I think, the reason you stood them up is I think you put them in a game thing on the box. I don't know. And there was like dioramas you could collect, so there was like an interior of the TARDIS, which is really interesting because nothing like the interior.
I've seen that. The illustrations were nothing like what was on television.
The console is like a Hartnell fountain, early Pertwee TARDIS. Totally different than anything in the show. So that was quite nice. And you also had a cardboard TARDIS that when I was a kid, I used to have it hanging in my bedroom off the ceiling, off the lamps. I could spin it around so it'd spin.
Do you ever go as far as, you know, we're talking about Thai food tea boxes there. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, there used to be little chocolate bars. This has been in the mid-80s, around the Colin Baker time, at the newsagent. Little Doctor Who chocolate bars. And I pestered my mother to let me buy some and keep them in the fridge forever and never eat these chocolate bars, because I never got any in the end. Or if I did, I did eat them and throw the wrappers away. But do you collect things like that? Do you?
Well, I do have from the 70s, a Nestle wrappers from a Pertwee chocolate bar, a blue and white one, and on the back of it was a little picture of something or other. I don't know what the picture is, I can't remember off the top of my head. And I also got...
Not the bar themselves, it was like a wrapper that would go around the silver.
And then I also have three Tom Baker ones as well.
Are those things you bought since or from your own childhood?
No, from the 70s. Still got them from the 70s. Kept safely away. I know where they are. They're safe. So those things are nice. I think it's sad that there's nothing like that now. I mean, I also have, not the set, but also in the 70s, now they're called Honey something, or Honey Monsters or something. But then they were called Sugar Smacks.
Because they sponsored the Dalek movie, didn't they, Sugar Smacks?
Yeah, but they also had, like, there was, if you had this, it's rare, like, Third Doctor on a box of cereal, but you got these badges with it. It was like the Brigadier, Master, Jesse, Joe, and the Third Doctor, and one that said Unit as well, the Unit logo on a badge. So they were nice to get.
I've never seen pictures of those. They make a beautiful set. I would love some. Because that's from the age as well, wasn't it? In the mid-70s, where pop stars like the Bay City Rollers used to wear a lot of badges, didn't they, along their lapels and things?
Yeah. So there was, you had those badges. But then I just think it's now because sad because I think Russell D. Davis want kids to be, you know, having, you know, merchandise that was bad for them, sort of like sweets and that with Doctor Who logos on and that. I thought, well, I'm sure if they could have done it on like healthy cereals, you know, actually like healthy cereals and bran flakes, something like that, shredded wheat. And I just think it's a shame they never went down that road. I mean, now they won't go down that road because it's no way it's popular. And I just think it's sad that there was nothing like that. Well, there was some things. There was like some black or baked beans. There was Froobs or some sort of lager. Not
I mean, yeah, I remember Froobs. Yeah,
Fruit Loops or something. Froobs something. There was no sweets. But I tell you one thing. Talk about food. You mentioned Colin Baker. And this was a nice thing, and it was a strange time because this came out, I think, 85, 86, and a mixed pack of what's it? I remember. And inside, I mean, you had the picture of Colin Baker on the front of the artwork and that, which I still got, yeah, got a wrapper of the crisps. You know, like you nowadays, when you've got six pack inside.
Yeah.
This is just the outer packet, and I still got that.
You've got the outer packet. I've got the six comics that came inside those, the Golden Wonders. Yeah,
but that was lovely, packet. That thing, wasn't it? Shame they can't do it something like that now.
It was a lovely promotion, and there were very few Doctor Who items at all, really, outside the Target line and Doctor Who magazine or Doctor Who Monthly as it was then. So that was incredible to get that. And people, kids at school, when I was like 12, 13, they were actually swapping them and reading them. It was a really memorable push.
Oh, yeah, I can just remember discovering that by accident in Waitrose or something. I think I
did as well, but we simply didn't have the information. That kind of stuff didn't come out in Doctor Who magazine. I think there was an advert in Doctor Who magazine, but it was after the line had started. So the first time I saw them was definitely in a supermarket. Yeah.
Another great thing that came out in Colin Baker's era. I have, and it's I still have it rolled up in the cupboard, but it's a massive map.
Okay.
Doctor and Perry land in the middle of a war zone, and you've got the Master there, and it's basically Daleks and Cybermen fighting each other. It's a wonderful map.
I've never seen that. I have to be searching on Google for that a bit later on.
Yeah. I could try and say it's too awkward.
Ian, I'm not going to ask you how much you've spent in total on your collection over the years. That's vulgar. And it's beside the point. I think that's not why you do it, is it? But could you tell me, though, could you entrust me with what's the most you've ever paid for one item and what's the least you've ever paid for one item?
Well, I'm the sort of person that don't like spend much money on items because...
That can be the joy in it, can't it? Getting
I don't
bargain.
Like spending too much money because I'd rather try and wait. I mean, the one item that I really want in my collection, I have all the Doctor Who annuals. Now, I stress Doctor Who annuals, not Dalek annuals. I haven't got the rarest one, which is 70, 71, 90s. The pink purpley one.
Yeah.
I haven't got that either. You see them on eBay, 100% pairs, but I've always thought, hold out. The most I ever spent on it, what I think was, £300 or something a month. The chief, who was just 1/6 scale stuff, 11 Doctors TARDIS. I had that for a very short time because I wasn't happy with it. I thought the lamp didn't flash in time. There was no sound effect with it, although they said somebody told me that it was supposed to be based on a police box or something. I don't know what, why they didn't do sound. And also, I couldn't justify spending that much money.
No. You've got your limits.
It was funny because at the time that came out, it was also about the same time as they released the 12 character options had released the 12 Doctors Capaldi's version of it, the TARDIS. And so I arranged for it to be sent back. I got my money back because I thought I just couldn't justify that. I mean, I don't have any big thief stuff because way too expensive for me. And
because they're high-end collectibles, aren't they?
This is one of the things
about modern collecting. They're beautiful to look at when you see the press releases, and they're a line of merchandise that does seem to do well, and the people who are really into them speak just as enthusiastically about them as you do about character. But they're what my parents, what our parents and grandparents would have just called dolls. rather than action figures, aren't they?
I have, as I said earlier, the 10-inch version of Jodie Whittaker's figure. That's a pretty good likeness of her. I mean, they are doing one. It's not come out yet. A Big Finisher. Not Big Finisher, Big Chief. They are doing one of her. I mean, some of them look very good. I've seen some of them up close. Amy, I didn't think it was brilliant. The Matt Smith from Series 7, the second half of his series 7, in his purple role, is very
in the purple, good. In the longer purple tweed.
I mean, some of them are really good. I wouldn't have room to display them. I can't put them on a normal shelf like above me because they would get very dirty.
More stuff to dust. Nobody wants that, do they?
Also wearing clothes, proper like fabric clothes, you would have to probably rinse them off.
Wash them or clean them somehow.
Yeah.
It doesn't even
it's not
bear
really one. I mean, the character options, some of them, like the Martha one that Character Options did, is really well done because she's in her red jacket and her blue jeans. So she's literally wearing, it's probably PVC, but it's like literally the same color as her jacket. And she's actually got proper denim trousers on.
I think I've seen
Character
that,
Options yeah. toy. So they did really well. And Cody's costume is accurate, I know. The coat and all. They also did, looking at what I've got in there, a very good clockwork robot from The Girl in the Fireplace. That was really well done.
Quite intricate, wasn't it? A lot of detail in the cogs and things.
Yeah. They also did a Tenet one, I think, average. They did a Cyberman 12-inch, I think, the leader. But there was two of them because I think they were going to do the Cyber Controller, but I'm not sure the story behind it because it's a standard Cyberman. He's got the normal handlebars. On his chest, he's got all the sort of nuts and bolts, you know, what the Cyber Leader had from Age of Steel.
Yeah, the rivets and things, yeah.
Yeah, that he's got that. It's just a normal Cyberman, so I think...
It gets jacked into the seat, yeah.
So I don't know how that one, the story behind that. I must try and find out. Another company I've not mentioned briefly, I want to mention them, because they get a lot of stick. Because in the 90s, the only company that ever produced action figures was, if you may remember, Tipol.
Yeah.
In Wales, Llangollen, was it? I think.
Based in Llangollen, yeah. They'd got the Doctor Who exhibition down there as well, hadn't they, with a lot of costumes and things. And you could tour the toy factory too.
Never went there, but... I know some of them were a bit strange. I mean, Tom Baker's never had a scarf.
K9 was bright green. The TARDIS console had a different...
I have the actual set from... It was the 25th anniversary, so I have, which is a lovely piece to have, the entire complete set, the console room set. They're also the only company to produce a console room electronic one, a toy one. It was the police box that opened up into Roundlaw's.
That's right.
When the police box was put together, it had a flashing lamp on it. They also released one later on that had sound effects. Now, on the DVD of the Aztecs, there's a thing called Celestial Toy Room, where they talk about the toys. And the story goes about the Napal TARDIS console, which is based on the unit known as the Five Doctors one. People criticise it because it... not enough sides, only got five into the six side. The story goes as follows. Just before there was much reference material, so guys at Apollo are working on it. And they've only got photographs. So ring up the BBC, speak to John Nathan Turner, and producer says, look, we've got this, but we're not sure if it's five or six sides. JNT, I believe that it wasn't in the best of mood, so he just said, well, if it looks like it's got five sides, then it has five sides. And that's the story behind it. How it ended up with five sides.
Attention to detail.
It's nice because you've got a switch and the road that goes up and down. Two little screens that light up.
I never had one of those, but I remember seeing them boxed. I remember seeing them advertised, and I remember seeing one boxed in a little family-run toy shop in Dudley, not far from where I grew up. It's time for a short break now. Type 40 is part of the fabulous Fandom Podcast Network, of course. And maybe you've heard some of those other shows on the feed. If so, you've certainly seen some of their eye-catching logos and other designs. And you can get them all on T-shirts, mugs, hats, and a whole range of other merch over at the TeePublic store. Ian, even your collection is not going to be complete without a Type 40 t-shirt, my friend. Listen to this. Search for the Fandom Podcast Network's own storefront over there and have a browse on tpublic.com. And then you can wear our team colours as you listen to whichever of these shows catches your eye or ear.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to our other awesome shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a whole year in movies. The End Zone, our NFL podcast. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. The Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville podcast. Hair Metal, the 1980s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. Lethal Mullet, a 1980s action film podcast. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast. And our newest show, Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast. A deep dive into the final frontier with host Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The FPNet can also be found on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and now iHeartRadio. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Something for everybody, and some seriously great listeners. So much so, frankly, it's hard to know where to hit play first. Ian, you've been on the TV yourself, haven't you, a couple of times. I remember you being on the television. I didn't twig it was you at the time, but I've realised it was you since back in 1993, wasn't it, for the 30th anniversary? You were on BBC One in prime time, weren't you?
But even before then.
Oh, go on. Tell me about Doctor Who and the Daleks, and tell me about the other times as well.
Well, the first time is, time scale would be 1985. Okay. Not on the TV, but it's on, you can look it up on YouTube. Saturday morning kids program.
Oh, you found it. Superstore. I remember. I was watching that.
It was with Colin Baker, Nicola Bryant, and Jacqueline Pierce, who played.
She was the doctors.
Yeah. Anyway, I spoke to Colin, and by all rights, they couldn't cut me up. I was asking for his autograph, but I never got it then. And even I said to him, my mum liked his haircut.
I remember. I've watched that. I recorded that live on air at the time, and I've seen that excerpt from Saturday Superstore probably about 100 times.
Well, it's also on the Horror of Fang Rock DVD.
That's a weird choice to put that one on, isn't it? You'd think it'd be on the Two Doctors or Attack of the Cybermen, but no.
Yeah.
And go on, the second time, the one when you were on.
The second time, well, is in 1993. Who Antiques Roadshow. Now, what they were busy with doing to celebrate the 30th anniversary, there were six episodes for Planet of the Daleks, which were being repeated on BBC One. Yes, on BBC One. And before each episode, there was a 5-minute segment with the history of the show. And they also did one on the merch. And I remember it very well. It was an 8-hour day, a very long day. And they said at the end, well, you know, but the best way to describe it is nowadays would be as much chance of winning the lottery as your segment being used.
Okay. There's a lot of
When I watched it, I did not know if my bit would be on there. And lo and behold, yes, I talk about the chocolate wrappers I mentioned earlier. And I actually have the big blue Dalek, nursery Dalek, with me as well.
There you go. That's up on YouTube as well at the moment, isn't it? So I will make sure there's a link to that in the show notes for this, so people can go and see it with their own two eyes and probably find that clip from Saturday Superstore as well.
There's another one which I'll have to look it up to send it to you, because it's not on YouTube. It's on some other one. BBC Northwest Tonight, when I set my first record, they came round here and interviewed me as well.
Do any of these instances, either being on TV or setting the record, do any of these things qualify as your warmest, lifelong Doctor Who memory? As somebody who's been watching this show, collecting it and obsessed with it, I hope you don't mind me saying, I certainly can't myself as obsessed. What is your most warm, overriding memory of being a Doctor Who fan?
I think it's the Guinness World Record.
I mean, first time or second time?
First time, because it was like, wow, I never ever thought of that as being anything Guinness World Record.
Whose idea was it for you to go for the World Record?
They contacted me when I used to run a group, a forum called The Amazing World of Doctor Who. And one day, I got this private message, and I thought, hey, what's all this about? I'm not sure how they found out about me. It does crop up now and again. I get messages from things that they want to know about your collection and they want to do something or something. I had to set it, and I get a friend of mine, bless him, came round, and it took 2 weeks to count everything, photograph everything, document everything. And he always said,
a friend and half who's willing to do that.
He said, never ever again. And he spent about a day doing the photographs. And it's, for example, how on earth do you count code stickers? How on earth described. So what you had to do was literally look at the picture and think, 10th Doctor and the Werewolf. You had to write a description. And that Doctor Who magazine, Doctor Who number 102, with six Doctor and Perry on the cover, something like that. I mean, stickers were the hardest. I mean, I had so many of them.
Because they are meticulous, aren't they, at the World
Record? I had to say what it was. So that's a sticker. What was it? I couldn't just say I've got 100 Doctor Who stickers, but what was on the picture. And that was a long time to do. So that's my happy memories, both of them. Yes, my record has been beaten twice now. To coin the phrase, I'm a bothered, not one bit. Because the first Doctor from the five Doctors, I'm the original, you might say. I always will be original.
I love it. Look,
because you can't take that away from me.
But you can't at all. The original and the best. Ian was first. We've been really flexible with the format of our frequently asked questions this time, but nobody gets out of this chair without answering this one, I'm afraid, Ian. DVDs do count as merchandise, we've established 100%, but it's lightning pick time, Ian, and I want to know what you would do if you were ever confronted with somebody who had never, ever heard of Doctor Who. They don't know anything about all this collection of yours. They don't know what any of it is. They've never seen the show, never seen a Dalek. They're completely bemused. And they look at you and they say, Ian, what's it all about? I'd like to know which DVD of what story would you put into their hands and say, oh, go and watch that story. That'll tell you everything you need to know. That is the pinnacle of Doctor Who.
Easy question. That's happened to me twice over my lifetime.
Oh, okay. Give me what you gave them both times then.
Well, last year, a friend of mine met, never heard who, never ever, a young chap, a lad he is. So I didn't give him a DVD, but I showed him a few clips on YouTube. I don't know if he has watched it, I don't think he has, but he wanted to watch some of the early stuff first. And then many years ago, cousins of mine in Ireland had not heard of it, so I got VHS of Five Doctors, Remembrance of the Daleks. And I can remember once going back to Ireland.
And did that work? Did you convert them, or did they at least see the appeal?
She's seen those two. I don't know what ever happened to them. She's seen the both Remembrance and the Five Doctors. I don't think I've ever converted anyone, as I know. One of my best friends winds me up and saying, you always wind me up and say, it's a load of shite. I know I have to say to him, actually, I agree with you, but I never thought I would agree with you. I say to him, I gave him, I thought, right, I want you to watch one story for me. So give it to him as a present, The Talents of Wen Chiang.
Okay.
He hasn't watched it yet, but he's still got it. I said to him, watch this one and see what you think of who then.
You'll have to let us know when the verdict comes in on that one, whether that does the trick. I think it's a pretty strong story. All of those stories, in fact, are strong. The Dalek one, I think, is probably the one I would go for out of the three now. I think that's a winner. all day. Not everybody gets bitten by the Doctor Who bug, but that is their loss. But I think when it comes to the collector's bug, you're either attuned that way or you're not. I consider myself to be obsessive, as I've said before, and perhaps a little compulsive. I think that could be part of Doctor Who fandom in general. Ian, it's been great to talk to you at last, because we've been talking a little on social media over the last couple of years, haven't we? And to hear your story, which I'm sure, just like the Doctor's, is going to go on and on and on and on. I'd love to get you back at a later date and talk at a bit more depth about some particular lines of merchandise and book ranges and all sorts of stuff from in the dim, distant, but long past of Doctor Who. For now, Ian O'Time Lord, Ian O'Brien, both of you, thank you. I'll be back, of course, with some more Type 40 very, very soon. Look out for that wherever you found this. Maybe it was on Apple Podcasts. If you simply search for the Fandom Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, once you're done, you can drop us a review just so new listeners can find us that bit easier. It helps more than you think. It really does, not just for our egos. We're also on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Play, the Podbean app, and Spotify. Now, Spotify, so easy to use. So is to find. Even I can manage it, believe it or not, Ian. That's technophobe like me. Anything you want to say to us, you can say to it direct. If you wish, contact us. Email type40doctorwho@gmail.com. And there's Twitter and Instagram @type40doctorwho for both of those. That Facebook group. Oh, Facebook page. Everything. Ian, remind people where they can get in touch with you and the name of your groups.
On Facebook, Amazing World of Doctor Who. Or Doctor Who Action Figure Scenes. On YouTube, Ian O Time Lord. But I do videos of the figures at random. I don't, anything new I will do, but I just pick them at random. Whatever anyone might like to see, they can always drop me a line and I can do a video on it. And on Twitter, Ian O Time Lord as well. Mm-hmm. Also on Instagram as well, it's Ian O Time Lord as well. There's not much yet on there.
See some of your collection. See some of your customs throughout your time collecting some of these various scenes that you set up. There's a little slice of everything you've talked about on there, and I'm sure that if we ask Ian nicely, he'll send us some pictures that we can drop out too. Now we've established, Ian, that this is a working time machine we've got here. We can drop you back any time, any year that you could care to name, either in the past, the present, or the future. Where would you like us to drop you off this time?
Dalek Mania.
Dalek Mania. The height of Dalek Mania, 19. Let's make it 65. Then you get to catch that film. There you go. Thanks for dropping by, and thanks to you for listening. Join us again next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network for another episode of Type 40. A Doctor Who podcast where we always have the time if you have the space.